Second scripture lesson is from the book of Psalms, chapter 69, verses 1 through 16. Please listen for the word of the Lord. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the deep mire where there is no foothold. I've come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my Lord. More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Many are those who would destroy me, my enemies who accuse me falsely. What I did not steal, must I now restore? O God, you know my folly. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from you. Do not let those who hope in you be put to shame because of me, O Lord of hosts. Do not let those who seek you be dishonored because of me, O God of Israel. It is for your sake that I have borne reproach, that shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my kindred, an alien to my mother's children. It is zeal for your house that has consumed me. The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. When I humbled my soul with fasting, they insulted me for doing so. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. I am the subject of gossip for those who sit in the gate, and the drunkards make songs about me. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord. At an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me with your faithful help. Rescue me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep waters. Do not let the flood sweep over me, or the deep pit swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing to you, our rock and redeemer. Amen. I remember getting really, really mad as a kid and tearing my room apart one day. To this day, I couldn't tell you what made me so mad, but I remember going into my bedroom and pulling all the books off the shelves, gutting the dollhouse, and ripping all the clothes out of my dresser and throwing them everywhere. Sometimes things just bubble up in us so fiercely that we have to do something to get rid of the energy. For sure, tearing my room up wasn't the most constructive way to deal with my energy. But the high that I get from organizing things definitely makes it worth it. Mom learned a way for us to use our what she considered more destructive energy. She learned it from my dad's dad, which was to make us do laps. When we got into trouble, we would run from one driveway to the other, the number of laps determined by the severity of the offense. And for the most part, it worked. To this day, when I'm anxious or emotional, I will still go for a walk, I do not run, and try to clear my head. Physical activity is great for that. I hear Mr. Rogers reciting his poetry, like, "What do you do with the mad that you feel?" And I think about the ways that I was taught emotions. As kids, we learn a lot about emotions from the people who raise us. And I can tell you exactly which temperaments I get from which parent. Sometimes we don't know what to do with those overwhelming feelings, though. When we're overwhelmed by things like anger or frustration or fear, and sometimes even by joy, we just don't know what to do with it, especially if you grow up with someone who taught you that the best thing to do with what they consider negative emotion was box it up and hide it in the deepest, darkest place of your garage. I think my favorite thing about the Psalms is that they teach us not to do that. They teach us just the opposite, which is to take the whole gamut of emotion and bring it to God, Angry? Bring it to God. Elated? Bring it to God. Overwhelmed and feeling like you're drowning, to use the language of the psalmist, bring it to God. It's what the psalmist did. No emotion was off the table for the psalmist. Save me, O God, for the waters come up to my neck. From the Message translation, it says, I'm hoarse from calling for help, bleary-eyed from searching the sky for God. Psalm 69 is what Bible scholar Walter Brueggemann would call a psalm of disorientation. It disorients us from reality, the same way that sometimes life itself disorients us from reality. We all have different things that happen to us at different times and in different places, and these different things that can make us feel like we're disoriented or like we're drowning. The psalmist, probably King David himself, his context for our psalm today was overwhelmed by feelings of persecution. Even his own family made him feel like an outcast. Maybe you're not feeling persecuted for your faith today, but maybe something is going on in your life that just feels like too much. I know that feeling. Most of us do. I've heard it described as walking through custard. Imagine a whole vat full of pudding and trying to run on top of it, but you keep sinking into it instead. I find that incredibly accurate. That's what living with anxiety feels like. That's what I imagine the psalmist felt when he wrote Psalm 69. I hate the phrase, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. I really do. I know people who draw strength from that phrase, but if I'm putting my cards on the table, I think it's kind of baloney. I think God does give us more than we can handle from time to time. The best example I can give you is natural disaster. When an EF4 tornado touched down and took out the center of the town in Illinois where I was living in 2013, we were overwhelmed. It was more than I could handle. When you live in a place wrecked by natural disaster, you learn very quickly how real the Psalms of disorientation can feel. You also learn that God does sometimes give us more than we can handle. Because I figure if we could handle everything, if we could do it all on our own, then what possible use could we have for God? What role would God play in your life if you could handle everything that came your way? Psalm 69 is the reminder that we all need help. Last week we talked about praising God and finding ways to say hallelujah anyway. Psalm 69 is a reminder that it is okay to acknowledge that sometimes the last thing you want to say is hallelujah. You don't want to hear someone tell you, good things come to those who wait, or this too shall pass, even when it's true. Sometimes you just want someone to tell you it's okay to be upset, or better yet, to have them not tell you anything at all. Sometimes you just want to have your mad. The struggle is that when we think of godly emotions, anger and frustration don't usually make the list. Anger even shows up in the list of seven deadly sins. Proverbs 19:11 tells us those with good sense are slow to anger. In many ways, we have lost the language to cry out for God the way that they do in the Psalms because it simply doesn't come up in most of our worship. It doesn't come up in our Sunday worship, for sure, most of the time. The overwhelmingly angry Psalms don't pop up in the lectionary, at least not in their entirety. Even today, we only read a portion of Psalm 69. And we probably won't ever open the hymnal and sing hymn 478, which is based on Psalm 69 and called, Save me, O God, I sink in the floods. It's a very minor key hymn. When a member in my first church told me he didn't want to sing the minor key hymns that reminded him of death because he thought he was so close to death himself, he was very serious. He hated what he called the dirgy hymns. He threatened to leave the church if I didn't stop putting dirgy hymns in the worship. I think he put words to a problem many of us have. If not a problem, then just a struggle, which is that we don't want stuff in our worship that reminds us of the stuff that we would put in a negative emotion category. We think this isn't the place for it. But if not here, where? And consequently, we don't learn how to cry out to God the way the psalmist did, because we would simply rather not go there. We're taught it's not okay to be mad or to be sad. We say, cheer up, it gets better. And it gets even messier when we would rather other people not go there, when we're feeling fine and someone else is feeling down. It reminds me of the story of Bartimaeus. Do you remember Bartimaeus in the Gospel of John? Bartimaeus was a blind man who used to be able to see. He sat on the roadside begging day after day, and one day he heard that Jesus was coming to town. So Bartimaeus stood on his doorstep and shouted out for Jesus. He cried out and cried out, and every time he cried out, trying to get Jesus' attention, the people shushed him. "Shh," they said, "don't bother Jesus." But Bartimaeus was persistent, and he did get Jesus' attention. Jesus turned to the same people who shushed Bartimaeus and told them to bring Bartimaeus to him. Bartimaeus got his sight. And the people got not just a lessening compassion, but in a wide variety of emotions that Jesus has time for. Jesus has time for the people who cry out. Jesus has time for the people who cry out for justice, for the ones who struggle with addiction. Jesus has time for the ones who cry out, "God, that's just more than I can handle." Jesus has time for the one who cries out because they've been hurt by the church, for being told that something happened to them because they did something wrong. Jesus never sees people as interruptions, no matter what emotional baggage we might carry. I didn't used to think anger and anxiety could be godly, but the reality that I've learned is that God created all emotions. God created us to feel things, so all emotions are godly in one way or another. It's what we do with those emotions that makes a difference. We can go to God with all of our emotions. We can survive a dirgy hymn in worship. We won't sing hymn 478 because it wasn't requested this summer. But we can survive a dirgy hymn if we sing it. And there are places where we feel dirgy, and it expresses exactly what we feel, even in worship. And there are places in the Bible that clarify what we mean. In Ephesians 4, Paul writes, "Be angry, but do not sin." And I think that's a fine line, and I think that's a good difference. That clarifies some things for me, that it's okay to get angry and want to tear a couple things apart. Maybe you rip some paper or pop some bubble wrap. Because Jesus got angry. Jesus went into the temple one day and was so angry by the state of things and the things that he saw, he flipped over some tables. And Jesus got overwhelmed. Jesus hung on the cross and said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Quoting from a psalm, "Be angry, but do not sin." The day that I ripped my room apart, the problem wasn't that I was mad. The problem, as my mom likes to point out, is how I expressed it. Psalm 69 is a constructive expression of anger and overwhelmed. It is poetry, it is music, it's acknowledgement that things aren't always rainbows and cupcakes, and it's permission to acknowledge that and to trust that God can do something about it. I feel very lucky that I grew up in a house where it was okay to be angry and overwhelmed, and we learned how to express our emotions constructively. I also feel very lucky or blessed that we serve a God who is big enough to handle whatever it is we bring his way. In her book, The Psalms for Today, Beth Tanner writes, "To speak honestly and demand that God come and do something speaks volumes about the relationship between the one praying and God." And I think that's true. How many of us have someone that we go to that we can just open up to and feel safe saying things to? Someone that you can say anything to because you know no matter what you say, they will still love you. My best friend and I can say the most heretical things to each other, and it's great because there's no judgment. There is only love. God is like that. God doesn't love us less when we bring strong emotions in God's direction. We have a God who wants to be in relationship with us, a God who desires us. Going to God as openly and as honestly as we possibly can, it says a lot about how we see that relationship. How do you see your relationship with God? Our reading from Matthew that Yvonne read a bit ago invites us to ask and to seek and to knock. How many of us take God up on that invitation? Are you willing to come to God, to come thirsty for his help, and to trust that God won't love you less for your openness and honesty? Our reading from Psalm 69 ends with a plea, with a prayer. From the Voice translation, it reads, "Eternal One, I just pray the time is right and you would hear me. And true God, because you are enduring love, I pray that you would answer." God's timing is always so different from our timing. Psalm 69 isn't just a psalm of disorientation, though. In a way, it's also a psalm of reorientation. It messes us up and then recenters us back where we belong, back with God. Life is not always as decently and in order as we would like it to be. And it's a comfort to know that no matter what we're feeling, no matter what we're going through, no matter how many heavy objects we would like to throw in God's direction, he is there to catch them. So as the contemporary song goes, bring your anger and bring your shame, bring your guilt and bring your lame. Praise God that we can go to God with whatever and whoever we happen to be in the moment. And occasionally, hallelujah anyway. Amen.